Well, praise the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 for one verse to start with tonight. It's been my blessing again to be with you. It's always a great encouragement to be with y'all. And I appreciate you. I pray for you every day as a church because of the blessing you've been to me. Appreciate the lunch and appreciate the sleep. I woke up Friday morning about 1 a.m. with no warning. I felt great all week, ready to attack the world, and whatever been going around hit me like a ton of bricks. And by Saturday morning, I didn't have any water left in me anywhere. And last night, I got a little bite to eat when I got here. And I said all that to say this. None of that comes close to what the disciples, the apostles, and the saints before us did to be faithful. Now, there is something that stirs me up every day I live. I admit this to you. I have a place in my heart for men who endure. He said endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I think of the Apostle Paul, and if there was anybody who knew how to endure, that was that old boy. You know, he wasn't famous back then, by the way. he didn't know he was going to write 2/3 of the New Testament back then. And when he's laying in a dungeon somewhere, and he's all beat up and everything, and people had, you know, his own people disowned him. His own people. He wrote Timothy. He wrote a guy that he trained. He trained this boy. He took him under his wing in Acts 16 and he trained him. He brought him up like a son. And in 2 Timothy 1 he writes and he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Can you imagine after all Paul had left behind, which was everything? And it wasn't for ambition. It wasn't like today, you know, he'd start a college. And it wasn't like today he'd have his name somewhere, and it wasn't like today. I like what one guy said. He said, the only way you know some preachers were great is they introduce them that way before they preach. And the whole idea is this. You wouldn't have known anything about the Apostle Paul, but do you know what it meant to him when he heard that Timothy was weakening towards him? Huh? And yet he just gutted it out in Jesus, but he endured. Hardness. So I admire the soldiers of our generation, but honestly, the Apostle Paul would leave every Navy SEAL, every British SAS soldier, every Marine behind, because he did it in the Spirit. Wow, what a deal. And it is my blessing to be here, and I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 13. I had other thoughts all week ready, and perhaps the Lord allowed, I don't know that he struck me down, but he got me weak enough that he just brought something back to my mind that a couple months ago when I was here I was going to do, and I want to look at this today. This is just one verse to start with. It's in Matthew 13, and I do understand the context of these passages. I also understand the truth that he puts forth in them, and that's this, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." I love the Bible. I love how God writes. I love how he knows that we love a mystery. If we didn't love a mystery, there wouldn't be people making a fortune out of pretty hokey mysteries on television and radio and in books and everything. We do. There's just something about us. But this is intriguing. Can you not picture this? Just kind of take your mind and unplug it from everything else for right now. And if you got an earphone and listen to the ball game, unplug that, okay? But I've been in places like that. I was in a town one time where their team was playing on a Sunday night for one of the championships. And all through there, all you could see was these little earplugs coming in and out of their shirt. You know what they were doing. They weren't amening either. It happened at a significant time in the event. But the idea is this. Picture this. Here's a guy, and it says he goes, and there's treasure hidden in this field, and he finds it. And then what does he do? Does he run an ad in the paper? Look at it. What does he do? He hides it. And then he goes, and he buys the field. That's a pretty sharp guy, right? So he's out there, you know, and he wasn't like some guy shooting at a something, and up came a bubbling crude and all that kind of stuff. Okay, I know what y'all are thinking. Okay, here he is. He's out there and he finds his treasure. And when he does, He's like, this is worth. Now, look at the passage with me so you get what I'm saying. He goeth and selleth what? Would you underline it, mark it, remember it? He selleth what? Sold off what he had under his mattress? No. Sold off what he had in the garage? No. Sold off a couple pieces of equipment? No. Sold what? All that he hath. This is very important. You get that. Whatever he found in that field was worth so much that first he hid it. He's like, I don't want anybody to know what's in this field. I want this field. But then he went and he sold all that he had. Where I come from, we call it tapping out. Okay? I've seen guys tap out. I've seen guys spend their last dollar to get a horse, figuring that was the one. And usually a couple weeks later or a year later, they're working for somebody else. But what happens is this. The picture is our Lord. The picture in the passage is our Lord Jesus Christ. The picture is that one day God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The picture is that God looked at the whole world and said, I want to save whosoever will. And the only way to do it is to buy the whole world. And if I'll buy the whole world, if I'll pay for the sins of the whole world, then what will happen is anybody who wants to can live with me forever. That is not a fairy tale. In fact, of all the things in the world, that's the only real thing, and the rest of it is a fairy tale. All this other stuff is just rubbish. It's just stuff that we make up and we think and believe to make ourselves feel better. Now, I'm not against, you know, they talk about girls being romantic and all that. Guys are in a different way. Guys are, you know, because they picture the biggest, toughest buck pulling, walking right out in front of them, shooting him and not missing him, you know. Or they picture winning the ball game. Or they picture the car, you know, that they can drive and race and get fast, but it won't break. Have you ever noticed, I call it the NASCAR principle. Have you ever noticed they put $1 million in the car and it goes 10 laps and it breaks because of a $10 part? You think you're frustrated when your car breaks? How would you feel? Years ago, before I ever got saved, I was at Daytona. And we're in the infield. And the race is going on. And this guy, he gets bumped and he spins out and he wrecks. And he got out of his car and he took his helmet off and he was beating his car with his helmet. I said, I know that feeling. I've got that right there. But I've done that just going down the road and having to pull over with mine. You see, the whole idea is the Lord said, I want the whole world. I know that the world's going to reject me. Look, if you're honest, I bet you 50% of the world has not received Christ. If you took all the people that have ever lived, it wouldn't be 50%. Even in the most, you know, you had the presentation on Billy Sunday, and there were a lot of people saved in those days, right? But do you understand why it was such a big deal? Because there were so many people lost. Have you ever thought that when those things stick out in history, it's kind of like watching a graph? You ever seen these graphs you can do? Or somebody can do. I could put in the data, but somebody had to tell me how to get the graph out of it. It's going along like this. There's this big spike, and it levels off a little bit. You know what that is? That means all this time, all these people were lost. All this time, all those pubs were open. All this time, people were just living like the devil. And then you had a spike where, as a whole, many people came to God. That's the age we live in, okay? The age we live in is people are lost. And they've been lost since the time Adam fell. So here's what Jesus did. Jesus came along and he said, Father, this is what you want to do. We'll buy the world. Because he wanted everything that was in the world? How many people have blasphemed him? How many people have turned their back on him? How many people have written horrible things about God himself? And I want to speak to you for a little bit tonight on buying the field. Buying the field. You see, as a place, this world is full of corruption, isn't it? As a place right now, the Bible says, and he told us way back then that the spirit of Antichrist was already working in the world 2,000 years ago. And yet, as a place, there was something in this world, and that was you. Because you would receive Christ. See, if you've received Christ, what happens is, excuse me, what happens is God said, I'm going to buy the whole field because you're in it. Now that's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't it a blessing to know that God said, I will buy the whole thing? Now, I want you to think about you and I as believers for a little while tonight. Because the field was not attractive. When Jesus came, was the world, the whole world lieth in darkness, doesn't it? The whole world lieth in sin, doesn't it? Didn't it in his day? Did he come because this world was so attractive? Oh, Father, I want to go visit that place. It is so awesome down there. No. When he came, did they give him a welcome? No, he's born where? In a stable. When he left, when he left his physical life, how'd they leave him? On a cross. Physician, heal thyself. If thou be the Christ, you know, call down power from heaven and they'll come save you. It was not and it is not like buying a field on the side. You ever have somebody, you ever run into somebody, and you probably have done it. Maybe you bought a little field over here or you bought a piece of land here and later on it caught to be worth something. That can happen. That's not what happened. This fellow goes out. He looks around. He finds his treasure. He says, this is so valuable. This is not going to be a side venture for me. This is going to be an all or nothing venture for me. You got to get that part, okay? He hides it. He goes back and he finds a guy and he says, how much you want for that field? And the guy starts telling him and he goes to buy it. Now, I don't know if you've ever done much business. There's something a phrase we used to use in buying and selling horses and stuff, is you hate to leave money on the table. In other words, you hate to ask less than you could get for something. And you hate to go away from deal thinking, I bet I could have got a little more out of that guy. You know what I mean? Or you go and you buy it and you think, man, I wonder how much money I left on the table. I wonder how far down I could have got him. Old cowboy preacher's gone to be in heaven, used to tell me, he'd say, Mike, he says, son, just offer him enough to a low enough price to insult him. Somebody will take it. I was like, I like that. That'll work. Have you done it? Yeah, I've had him get insulted, but all you got to do is laugh. Say, well, I tried. Amen. But you see, that's not what he did. He did what? He took all. He sold all that he had. Now, it's called a field here. And isn't it odd that we use the word field in a lot of ways? When you go out and drill soldiers, you take them out in the field. When you go out to plow and plant, you go to the field. And when you send the gospel out, you send it to a field. How about that? That Bible's really out of date, ain't it? Not in the least, amen. That book has got it nailed down. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about this thing of the field of the gospel and this idea of buying the field. Number one, the treasure discovered. The treasure discovered. Had he not discovered a treasure, would he have wanted the field? No. Was the field the treasure? Help me. You help me, we get done quicker. Okay. You see, it wasn't the field that attracted him. I want to talk about the gospel for a minute. Now, before it's over, somebody's probably going to be called to Hawaii, okay? Or somewhere like that. But you wouldn't get called to Papua New Guinea because the field was attractive. I've been there. I've come back from there with stuff that stuck. One time it stuck with me for 3 years. I was a sick little puppy. And it would just come and go without warning. And it was a real blessing when it came, but it was a greater blessing when it left. And the idea is this. The field itself, there was nothing about the field. So the treasure has to be discovered for the field to be worth selling all to get the field. For example, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That means there's something very special about a Christian life. That means there's something very special about a Christian and the Holy Spirit's work in your life. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible tells us the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Now listen, he told his disciples in John 4, he's talking to the woman at the well. She goes and finds some fellas. He's bringing them back. They come back with regular food. And he said, look at the fields. Look at the fields. They're white and large. Look at the fields. What's he talking about? People? people, people. The treasure has to be discovered before the field is worth buying. Because the field is going to cost what? All. Will you get that? It's going to cost your all. So instead of saying all, we're going to try something, okay? I want you to try saying it to yourself at least. But I'd like you to say out loud, say, my all. My all. The field is going to cost my all. The treasure has to be discovered then, wouldn't it? You take Philip in Acts chapter 8. What happens? Philip's preaching, man. He's got people saved. There's stuff going on. I mean, he's so busy, he can't hardly help himself. God says, come with me. Lord, I'd like to, but I'm real busy doing your work. He said, well, I've got something for you to do, Philip. Come. Lord, I'd really like to, but these people, Philip, let's go. Where are we going? We're going to the desert. We're going to do what? We're going to the desert. Why? There's a fella out there. A fella? Lord, couldn't you send one of these guys? Can't you see? Yes, Philip, I can see. Just come on. And he takes him out there, and there's one guy. He goes all the way out in the desert to lead one guy to Christ. But that one guy goes down to Ethiopia, and you know most of the rest of the story from there for many, many, many hundreds of years. Why? Because God had a plan. He had a treasure to discover. The Lord Jesus Christ had to come all the way here, okay, to the whole world. He had to give his what? His all. Did the whole world get saved? No. It's too late for many of them to get saved. The whole world didn't, but he had to give it, didn't he? You know what happens? Sometimes, for example, someone will go visit a field. Sometimes they might serve in the military there, for example. Sometimes they might be on a trip there. Sometimes they might take a missionary trip. They'll go to a field. When they come back, they can't shake that thing. Now, it's not doesn't mean you're always called. I know that. So it's not about that. But it's about understanding this. It wasn't the climate they fell in love with or had a burden for. It wasn't the lifestyle. You get me? It wasn't all that was wonderful about the field. It's that what's in that field is a treasure to be discovered. You know, if one of you went out here today somewhere, and somewhere around this area, this field of yours, this town, this county, this area, and you found you a good soul fishing hole. You know what that is? That's where you cast out line and you get a soul. And you're like, hey, that was pretty good. I think I'll try that one again. You cast out and you get another one. You ever seen fishermen? They're ruthless. I mean, I've seen it where guys are fishing so close together, their lines are tangled up, but they weren't going to let somebody get one if they didn't have a chance. I mean, my brother was so bad, I even had to kind of pretend I wasn't catching stuff when we were fishing together until I had two or three in, and then I just let him know and let him take over. And imagine if, in this area, imagine if you believed there was a treasure here to discover. A soul. But in order to get that soul, you had to do what? You had to buy the field by selling what? My all. Now, forget your pocketbook right now. That ain't. Until God can get hold of your heart, I'm not worried about your wallet, that's for sure, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So let's try to get to your heart right now for a minute. Imagine if you really said, Lord, I want a soul. Lord, I want to see somebody saved. Lord, I want to discover that treasure that you died for. You'd be willing to buy that. You have to buy the field, don't you? You see, what's so important about life is, as a Christian, we realize that the treasure has to get discovered. Listen, people go and do things not because it's a blessing in itself, it's because of the treasure. I can think of people who have had, you know, they go through things like malaria. I read a newsletter day before yesterday where they've got the military of the country they're in is threatening them daily, threatening to hurt them because the military is corrupt. There's things that come where families are threatened and money's threatened. I know for a fact that you can, listen, let me tell you about some things. When things change around the world and maybe you're looking at the stock exchange or the dollar exchange and stuff, don't forget that there are times when a missionary can wake up and what he is trying to live on can be gone by 40% overnight. Overnight by the exchange rate. Why would these guys do this? Because they discovered a treasure. Secondly, the transaction demanded. Now, the field had a price. this field out of price, and so he thought, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I got a little bit set aside in a coffee can in the backyard, or I got a little bit under the mattress, or I got a little bit here, and he said, if he'll take that, I'll get it, otherwise I'll let the field go. Is that what he did? No. You know what he did? He said, I want that field. I want it. I want it. I want it. I guess I'm going to have to sell everything to get it. And that's what God decided one day. The treasure was worth far more. So what does our Savior tell us? He makes statements like this, okay? He tells us in Luke chapter 12, 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He contrasts the two. He tells us many a time, he says, you got to decide what's it worth. What is it worth to have this thing? What is it worth to have this treasure? And the Lord says, if you will see the treasure discovered, then we have to talk about the transaction demanded. We sell all, we spend all, we secure the treasure. Think about Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were not part of a church drive at the time that was demanded of them. How do you know it? Simon Peter said, this was yours to do with as you please. Nobody was pressuring them. Let me tell you a story. A couple got saved out of the world. They got into church, a large independent fundamental Baptist church. They left their previous occupation because of how worldly it was. And they were looking for work, and they both had specific skills. And so this large church with a large Christian school hired them. And it hired them, and so they were kind of just barely getting by, trying to get used to getting off the racetrack, got rid of the horses, sold their tack, and they were having an I gave it all Sunday at that church. And so the idea was they were challenging everybody to bring your whole paycheck. They needed money, okay? So these two people went to get their small, at the time, paycheck that they were just living on, subsisting on, and they looked at them through the little window there at the church and said, well, we just put it in for you. This was not one, that was my parents, by the way. Yeah. See, I know what goes on. Do you realize how flimsy people's excuses are for getting out of church? They had just got saved. They didn't get out of church. They stayed in till the day they died. You just couldn't run them off. Now, they had enough sense to move on later. Hallelujah. You know, once bitten, twice shy, okay? But you know what they did? They just kept on for God. But this thing with Ananias and Sapphira was not that way. The problem was they saw the blessings. They saw the power of God. They saw what God was doing, and they wanted in, but at the last minute, they couldn't sell all and spend all. And so they lost out. If they had just been honest, nothing would have happened to them. You know what the Bible says? The righteous giveth and spareth not. Proverbs 21, 26. You've heard it before. There are no cheap victories. There are no cheap victories. They've got one of these college basketball coaches that's got a team that, you know, they've got the potential to win all this stuff. And I don't really care about their games or anything. I just love hearing them interview him. For example, they beat this team. They whooped this team a while back, about a month ago. Whooped them. In fact, it was on the last time I come up here to preach. And I happen to drive, so I turn on, listen to him, interview him. And everyone's like, oh, didn't they do great today? And it got real quiet. And they've got all these people that pay money, you know, for this college to do all this stuff. And he said, well, actually, I was very disappointed. You could have heard a pin drop. I was like, go, man, get them. He said, they didn't do this, they didn't do this. He said, well, coach, they won. He said, let me tell you something. He said, the real teams we need to beat, we're 40 points behind them right now if we played them today. He said, today was nothing. You know what he's trying to teach those boys? He said, until they can learn to give their all, he said, I'm not going to be happy. Coach Landry used to say this. They asked him, what's your job? He said, my job is to take grown men, make them do what they don't want to do so they can be what they always wanted to be. Yeah. See, those days seem to be gone. I don't know what on earth people think is going to happen. But here's my point. Have you thought about the hymn we sang that they played at the end? Is your all on the altar of what? Of comfort and ease laid? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control. The transaction that's demanded is just one word. All. 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 Now, if I was just going to keep talking about some far-flung place, you'd have it made the next few minutes. But I'm not going to. That's too easy. And I wouldn't be happy with that. I'm talking about your field right now. If you'll stop, God will tell you where there's a treasure in your life, your neighborhood, your community, your family, to be discovered. But the transaction that he demands of us, the only way it ever works, is if he has our all. The temptation is to try to deal with it and kind of hedge it around. Can you imagine him going and asking the man to make sub-allotments in the property? Sir, I'd like to buy this 100-square-yard place inside there. That's how a lot of Christians are. Oh, I want the treasure. I want it. But couldn't we cut a deal here? True story, these two rodeo guys, you have to understand horse people and rodeo guys, these rodeo guys will pay $25,000, $35,000, $100,000 for a horse. $100,000 to rope off of. That's a hunk of change. So this one guy had this, he trained horses. And one of the roping guys was his hero, and the hero guy's horse broke down. So he came, and he wanted to buy the horse, and he tried it out for 3 or 4 days, and they sat there and they haggled about it. And they finally ended on like $35,000. And the hero said to the young fellow, he said, look, he said, I'll be back for my horse. He said, by the way, he said, I would have given you 25 for it. He said, by the way, I would have taken 15. Y'all get that in a minute if you do the math. The young guy got him good. You can't do that with gospel work, though. You just can't. Use your wits about you out there in the world. Do that. Get a good deal. But this is a simple equation. If you want all God wants for your life, he has to have all of your life that there is to have. And that's as simple as you can get it. You want all there is of God? He has to have all there is of you. And I want to talk about the triumph declared. The triumph declared. Have you ever thought what Jesus Christ did when he bought this world? He bought your soul. And he bought hundreds of thousands, millions of souls forever. He bought your soul. He bought the friends you're sitting next to's soul. He bought the souls of those who are going to get saved before it's over with. What a victory. But what did it cost? The hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. How could I do anything with my everyday life but give him all? How could I? Because Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Do you know, can you imagine as a steward, you and I are stewards under the mastery of God Almighty, can you imagine being able to say, Master, here's what I did. I saw a treasure. I sold my all. I secured it for you. I did what I could, Lord. He will never measure you by anybody else. I am so thankful for that. You know, when you first get saved, especially where I came from, and you hear some of these men preach, you're like, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, I can't do this. And Lord, I can't do that. Finally, the Lord comes along, and sometimes he'll use some old saint of God, some old preacher to put his arm around you and say, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is what you truly can, your personal all. Do your all. Give your very best to the master. You know, sometimes, can you imagine? You look over there in this passage for a minute and look what he says. Look at verse 44. Maybe you missed it the first time through. It's easy to. He hideth it, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Was the joy in selling out all? No. Was the joy in paying the price? No. Look at Hebrews 12 with me. Just one passage, Hebrews 12. for the joy. For the joy. Let me say this to you. We all face a temptation, a trial. We all face the situation that sometimes time passes and we lose the reality of certain joys. They get dim because there may be a little bit more in the past than others, okay? And so sometimes, for example, if we don't see somebody saved for a while, we forget what it means to really see somebody get saved and get in and see them grow. It's easy. It just happens. It gets dimmer in that sense of joy. But notice this in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now watch. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he did not enjoy the cross. It was not an easy thing. It wasn't a nothing to him. It wasn't a painless experience. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame, and then is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. When the treasure gets discovered and the transaction that's demanded is made, eventually the triumph is declared. But in the meantime, there's the cross, there's the shame, there's the contradiction of sinners. When you read biographies, the thing you notice about every life that truly will inspire you of Christian endurance, they endured those things. That's what they went through. Since we don't live in a country where tomorrow you're going to be taken out and beaten, and tomorrow you're going to be taken out and imprisoned, or tomorrow you're going to be taken out and beheaded, it would behoove us, I believe, as Christians, to all the more sell out. Because what do I really have to lose compared to others? And I want to ask you tonight to think about this, about buying the field. Maybe tonight you'd pray and say, Lord, show me, help me to realize that there is a treasure to be discovered where I'm at or wherever he's put in your heart. Lord, help me to realize that your equation, your economy is, I sell all, I buy it, I rejoice. And help me to realize that the same way my Savior endured the cross, had to despise shame, he endured contradiction of sinners. You see, to be a gospel witness, to be a gospel messenger, to be a gospel soldier and a warrior, it's getting to be more now like it was when this age came in. And it's going to get more that way. They don't preach the gospel now, but when they were the true salvation army, they would come home with scars and bruises and broken bones and stuff because they were getting hit with brick bats and all kind of stuff just for preaching the gospel in the wicked parts of London. And so you and I could tonight say, Lord, please help me to understand this truth about buying the field. If I will take and I will give my all to you, Lord, I will sell all. See, where you're at, you don't even have to get up and move somewhere. Where you're at today, where you'll be at tomorrow, you could give God your all. Say, Lord, I'm all yours. All my energy, all my heart, all my mind, at your job, wherever. You do it heartily as unto him, but your heart is there. And say, Lord, help me get the treasure out of the field. Let's do this. Let's bow our heads for prayer for a moment. Just bow our heads for prayer for a moment. How about this, if we could? Do we have a piano player? If it's possible. I want to do this for a minute. It may not be something you do every Sunday night, but I'm going to ask you to tonight. I think the Lord laid these things on my heart because you have a great church here. You have a really good spirit here. You have something that people wish they had. If we could, sis, I'd like to see if you 368, please. And I really believe that in your hearts, maybe the Lord's just tugging and saying, let's get a renewal going. I'm not saying you're slack or anything. You know that. Let's get a vision for this time that's left. If it's a month, if it's a year, if it's a decade. Let's go home to heaven having sold our all. Let's go home to heaven having left nothing in the bag. Let's go home to heaven having left nothing on the shelf, nothing in the tank. I did my all. Lord, I gave it my best. I'm glad I'm home. I'm wore out, but I'm glad I gave my best. Father, I pray you just use this time, just a couple minutes, Lord, of us reflecting. Use it, Lord, to stir our hearts for you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. You know that one says 368, please? Let's stand. Let's turn to 368. This would be a good song for you to memorize and maybe throughout the week sing to yourself sometimes. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he'd upon the cruel tree, to think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? Amen. Think about it this evening. If you want to pray, come pray. If you want to sit in your seat, think about it. Let it touch your heart tonight. Amen. On the second hour, the hours. The hours that I've wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so... Amen. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I... The world is dying now. The seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? We'll sing this last verse. How about making this your song tonight? Make this your theme. No longer will I stay within the valley. I'll climb to mountain heights above. Let's sing it together and we'll close. No longer will I stay with... Amen. I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. How many are the lost that I have lifted? Hoffman. Would you close in prayer, please?